We're going to continue a study that we've been talking about, which is about raising children. We've gotten up to the point of, we talked about the infants, we talked about newborns. With infants, we learn patience. With toddlers, we start seeing that love and security is an important issue. Get to the age of 2 and 3, and we find out that we have a different difficulties. Oftentimes the 2-year-olds are called the terrible 2s. Or sometimes it's the terrible 3s. Most parents have been warned about that. And we wonder, what's the cause of all this problem when children get to that age? And the trouble is because they're no longer completely dependent on their parents. They're still very much dependent on the parents. But they can move about on their own. They don't need mom or dad to carry them. They can run, they can climb, they can manipulate objects. But one of the real bad problems when you get to 2 or 3 is they haven't learned any limits. They have no concept about safety. They can express their desires, but they haven't learned any tact. And they have a measure of independence, but they have no restraint on what they do. And for a lot of parents, that's a trying time because the child now demands to do things their way. So cereal has to be not just cereal, it has to be cereal in the green bowl. Any other color doesn't do. Which, by the way, then next week is some other color and you don't know which one it is, but they make a big fuss about it. Or supper time has to be something familiar. There was a time when my kids, as they were growing up, I thought they could survive on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 3 meals a day and be quite happy with that. And if they want to play, it's now. Not later, not some other time. It has to be right now. And meanwhile, the parent is thinking, what kind of monster have I brought into this world? Or maybe it's surely they must have made a mix-up at the hospital. I got the wrong child back. Because you look back and you say, where did I lose that sweet child I had just a few months ago? The point, though, is that in their growth, they have to learn that there are limits. And limits are not just important for little children. They're important for older children. They're important for adults. We work a whole lot better when we know there's limits. I tease about one class that I teach down at the community college. It drives students nuts because the first thing I tell them is that they have a paper to do and they can write it on any subject. You know how long it takes some people to make up their mind about what any subject might be? If you give them a limit, they have no problems with it. When it's wide open, it becomes suddenly a really hard chore to figure out something. Or have you ever woke up in an unfamiliar room? Lights are all out. And suddenly movement is difficult and painful because you don't know where the limits are. Unlike your own bedroom where you can walk around in the dark and not worry about anything. A child needs limits to feel comfortable and secure. We also need limits. We live our whole life with rules and restrictions. And sometimes we chafe about those rules, but those rules are important. Another illustration of this that comes up every once in a while. You know, sometimes I see people, they complain about the stop signs and the stop lights and the speed limits especially. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have any of that stuff? Yeah, I went over in the Philippines back about 2000. I saw what it's like when you don't have any of that thing. Little tiny town took forever to get across town. It took 30 minutes to get across a small town. Because at every intersection, it was just a complete chaos. Yeah, they had traffic lights up there, but nobody paid attention to them. And nobody was enforcing the rules. And things bogged down and slowed down simply because limits were being ignored. No one can avoid the fact that we have to live within restraints, within limits. Even from the very beginning, we talked about this in our class downstairs this morning. Even from the very beginning, there were rules given right at the very start. Mankind does better running underneath rules. And rules are part of a child's life. And parents need to instill in the children the fact they have to abide by rules. And there has to be respect for authority. In Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, and in verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Instill habits now so that they remain habits later. A lot of parents, a lot of times say, oh, I'll get around to that later. Yeah, I know, but it's cute, but and all that, and they laugh about it. But sometimes you got to say, no, I need to instill a habit now so that it remains with them throughout their life. Have you often noticed that children, especially when they get to 2 and 3, you put them down and you said, go off and play. And they'll walk out of a room, but they'll come right back. And then they'll go back out, but they'll come right back. They'll explore, but they always run back for a little bit of time with mom. And sometimes that may be annoying because you're trying to get supper done or whatever project done. But the point is they need to know that you're there. That you're always there. They need the reminder. Because a small child lives in the here and now. And for the same reason, we need reminders that God is here. And we need that reassurance that God cares. And we have to live within the restrictions that God has placed on us. You know, even grown-ups live with restrictions. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 12, all things are profitable for me, but not all, or sorry, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, he's not saying that we can do anything that we feel like. But in the realm of things that are lawful, even the things where it's wide open, not everything that we could do is necessarily the best for us. Can I eat? The answer is yes. Should I eat whenever I feel like it? The answer is no. At least my scale tells me that. We have to restrict ourselves. Same thing is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. In both places, what he's talking about is, could you do something? In the first case, he's using an application of sin. Can we sin? The answer is yes, we have the ability to do so. Is it good for us? No. Is it possible or lawful for us in this particular case to do anything? And the answer is yes. In this case, he puts a restriction saying, but not everything profits other people. Yeah, I can get my way, but it doesn't help other people. We got to start thinking about what does the best for people and for ourselves. And we live within restrictions, saying we can't do everything I may want to do. When we get to the 2 and 3 year olds, the limits are set, but a 2 or 3 year old wants to know, is it there? Is it always there? In other words, when you say no, does that no mean all the time? Or just right now? I've seen where, you know, in my own kids, I've seen in my granddaughter, you turn around and you tell her no, or tell one of them no when they're little. And they turn around and next thing you know, they're doing exactly the same thing you just told them no about. Why? Are they that dumb? The answer is no, they're not dumb at all. They're wondering, is this mean all the time or just not at this moment? Or does it only count when mom and dad are looking? Does it not count when they're not looking? And parents sometimes have a hard time setting not just the limits, but doing it consistently. It means a parent has to be firm about their ideas about what is acceptable and unacceptable behavior. Way too many of us put limits on basically based on our emotions. And because I have a bad day at work, therefore this is wrong. Rather than being consistent about this is right and this is wrong. It also means, though, if you put limits, that you have to be willing to enforce the rules. What do you do when a child crosses the line? Think about it. Limits don't make any sense if there's no consequence to them. And so in Proverbs 29 and verse 17, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17. Correct your son and he will give you comfort and he will also be a delight to your soul. There's a lot of times when we have children and we don't want to correct them because we don't want them to see them sad. But they're going to have a happier life. You're going to have a happier life by saying, these are the restrictions, and this is what needs to be done. Then you have comfort afterwards. See, rest and delight only come with applied effort. In fact, in that teaching in Proverbs 13 and in verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. It takes effort. It takes discipline. And sometimes it is sometimes physical punishment. But it's required because there needs to be consequences. Probably the saddest thing I've seen developing in our culture is this idea that somehow we're going to train children in schools, and there is no discipline. And after a while, kids start to figure it out. What happens if you don't turn in your homework? Oh, they give you a bad grade. So what? And they just pass it on by. And they get lazy. And then people wonder, what happened? Or they just start ignoring all the rules. I've seen kids dealt with kids that, oh, they got assigned for, you know, their timeout or whatever after school. They never go. So what happens? Nothing. There has to be follow-up. And our Lord's example is the same. We read this in our scripture reading, going back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus had to face hardships. Says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Is life meant always to be happy? And the answer is no. There will be hardships, there will be difficulties, there will be trouble. They're there to improve us as we face them and overcome them. It is for discipline, verse 7, that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And think about that in our today's society. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If we are to raise children right, it requires at times negative punishment. It used to be common sense. That's what Paul's argument here, or whoever the Hebrew writer is. Hebrew writer's argument here is, you know, what son doesn't get this? Now it's becoming rare, and we see the effect in our society. Continuing on, he says, but furthermore, we have earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father's spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, it's not just the good encouragement. We need the good encouragement. But we also need to have the limits. We need the boundaries. And we need to know why those boundaries are there. I point out to people when I study with them. Usually the times when they get a hold of me is when life is going really bad for them. We start talking about why it's happening. And they ignored God's rules. And all sorts of things came about that didn't work well for them. And the question is, didn't you understand that God does these rules for a reason? They're not arbitrary. They have a purpose. When parents set out rules, that should be the same way. There should be a purpose behind them. They're not arbitrary rules. Like, for instance, you tell a kid not to climb on a chair. Why do we do that? Because we don't like them being up higher than we are? No, it has nothing to do with that. We know they have a tendency to fall. From a higher point of vantage point, they'll fall harder. So we tell them, don't climb. Because little kids don't think about the consequences. And guess what? Teenagers don't think about the consequences. And sometimes adults don't think about the consequences. And they need to be reminded there are consequences. In Proverbs 22, and in verse 15. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. So the little child doesn't think that, hey, when I climb up on the rocking chair to go grab my toy off the toy shelf, that the rocking chair rocks. It doesn't cross their mind. Sometimes discipline is needed to remind them that rules are rules. And there are reasons for them there. In Proverbs 23, and in verse 14, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You will strike him with a rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. It doesn't harm a child. I'm not talking about child abuse. But when a child is punished, even physical punished, it's not going to kill them. Sometimes I see parents that act like disciplining a child is going to kill them. It's necessary. And it saves the person's soul. Why? Because they learn how to obey. They stay away from danger. And in Proverbs 29, and in verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. If that doesn't make sense, then just watch some of the little kids that you see in the supermarket. Children need to know where the limits are so they can behave properly. Now, by the way, the word rod there means a branch or a switch is what we probably would call it in today's terminology. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11, it's a little clearer just to show you what that word meant. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me and saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I say, I see a rod of an almond tree. That's the little slender branch that comes off the main branch. Or in Genesis 30, and in verse 37, then Jacob took fresh rods of the poplar and almond trees and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white that was in the rods. Again, we're not talking about big sticks or anything like that. We're talking about a switch. But the point is, not so much on the instrument, is the point is that children need discipline. And oh, by the way, we as adults sometimes need them. Not that we get with a switch, but there's reasons why things go bad when we break God's laws. We need those consequences to remind us we need to improve and stay away from danger. Now, when you're raising kids, some of this might sound like, well, obviously, but sometimes you need to point out some things that are obvious. You know, when you tell a child, especially when you're 2 and 3 year old, something to do, you got to be fair about it. You got to make sure the child understands what you're saying and is listening. Now, in other words, if there are distractions, make sure the child looks you in the eye. And have the child acknowledge what you say. You know, the old-fashioned yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Those are more than mere politeness. That was back in the days when people understood you want to make sure the child heard. How do you know? They acknowledged it. They said something back. And when you're dealing with a 2 and 3 year old, you got to give instructions on the level they can understand and do. In other words, like for instance, it's bedtime, pick up your toys. That's something a child can understand. No, honey, go out to the garage and get daddy's Phillips head screwdriver in the toolbox on the second shelf. Forget it. 2 or 3 year old's not going to be able to do that. Why? There's too many concepts. There's too many things to remember all in a row. A 2 or 3 year old can only grasp one step or idea at a time. Oh, by the way, when you start thinking about new Christians, the same idea goes. You have to express things in simpler terms, not because they're not intelligent, but they don't have the background to string a whole bunch of ideas together. And things need to be broken down step by step. When we talk about punishing disobedience, we're talking about purposeful, willful disobedience, negligence. Now, I'm not talking about accidents. I think all of us have accidentally turned a glass over. That's an accident. But if a child is told not to reach across the table, and he does so anyway, and then the glass gets knocked over, the punishment is inflicted not because the glass went over, but because they'd reached across the table and you said not to. By the way, at this age, you probably will think you've got a nut on your hands, because you'll find that every once in a while your child will actually get your attention, look at you in the eye, as if to say, I dare you, and then do exactly what you told them not to do. I still remember to this day, we were babysitting a 3-year-old. I think he's 17 now. But at the time, he was 3 years old. He actually called my attention. He had got a hold of the popcorn salt. He actually called my attention. I was downstairs. I said, what did you want? And looked upstairs, and he has this thing of popcorn salt. Once he got my attention, he then proceeded to turn it upside down. Now, he knew what was going to come from that. But he was like, I dare you. And that's really what it is about. It's wanting to see the limits are really set. That they're really there. That the person really means it. I remember that particular time because we had a bunch of little kids at that time. It took a whole week. We were going nuts the whole week. But by the next weekend, we were able to take them out to a diner. And we actually had somebody come up to him and say, what wonderful, nicely behaved kids. And we're thinking, yeah, you didn't see the week that came before it. But it was letting them know that there were limits, and when we said something, we meant it. Punishments should be due to the child breaking a rule. You never punish a child because you had a bad day at the office or because Junior kept you up late last night with a cold. But you don't forego punishment either because you're in a bad mood either. There is a consequence to each thing that's done and is strictly enforced and kept regular. And children thrive on knowing exactly here's where the boundaries are. Of course, the punishment has to hurt. But take a look at, well, we already read Proverbs 23. Let's take a look at Proverbs 20, verse 30. Proverbs 20 and verse 30. Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. It hurts, but they heal. And in that healing comes improvement. Now, chastening, which literally means blows, in Proverbs 19, verse 18, it says, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A punishment ought to be strong enough that a child doesn't want to repeat whatever causes the punishment. Now, when you're little, usually initially just a single slap or blow or whatever, tap on the hand sometimes is usually enough. Sometimes just a word is enough. Startle alone is sometimes efficient punishment. But if a child quickly repeats a wrong action, then it wasn't enough. And you'll have to figure out what's enough for a particular child. And another thing also is you can't let a child wear you down. There are times when a child will repeat something over and over and over again, despite the fact that you're punishing them. It's consistency that's needed. And oh, by the way, that goes for adults as well. There are times when somebody strays off into sin, the reaction to that ought to be consistent. To say, here's where the boundaries are. Now, yes, as a child gets older, the punishment may have to get more severe or more innovative. You might start taking away the car keys or whatever else that goes along with it. But punishment needs to be there. Another thing also to keep in mind is punishment is between you and the child. Don't punish a child in front of other children. And the reason for that is you don't want other children gloating over the fact that somebody else got punished. It's not a right attitude to instill in a child. And you never let another child punish for you. And it has to be in a timely manner because 2 and 3 year olds live in the here and now. So for a 2 or 3 year old to say, well, when daddy gets home, he'll take care of this, won't work. Because by the time daddy gets home, they've totally forgotten anything that had to do with it. It's often why punishments get repeated. Because Johnny learns last week they could not get a cookie before dinner. And here and now he's sneaking one this week. Because they live in the here and now. They don't remember that what's wrong last week means it's wrong this week too. And so sometimes you have to instill that. Because last week's punishment doesn't connect with this week's desire. Whatever happens, defiance cannot be rewarded. Don't give in just because little Johnny is more stubborn than you are. And don't give in just because it's not a convenient time, like at a store or a restaurant. Otherwise, you'll teach them that all they have to do is wait for an audience. And then they can get away with anything they want. Now, given today's anti-disciplinary views, that's sometimes a problem. You might have to settle for a single swat or take the child home right then. You may have to not finish shopping. Or you might have to say, okay, we're paying for the meal and we're leaving with that, get it happy. But don't put it off. Don't let the child get away with it. Now, also with children, one little thing I wanted to put towards the end here is there is still time now to start teaching. A lot of times we think, they're too young to learn. They can't even fully express words, and we can't teach them much. But there's lots of things that can be taught to a 2 and 3 year old. You can teach them reverence for God and for Jesus. You can teach them respect for authority. We were teasing yesterday about teaching the idea of sharing and trying to tell them, no, you don't, when you have a cold, don't share your cup with one another. But we ought to teach the idea that we share things. The concept of prayer. The concept of worship and the need to be quiet, respectful in worship. That there are wrong actions, that you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't disobey. Those type of things can begin to be taught. Also in the teachings, very simple themes can be taught. You can teach about people, like Adam and Eve. But then you can also enforce the idea that it's about doing what God said. Or Cain and Abel about caring for one another. Or Abraham about trusting God. Or Joseph about God's protection. Or Moses and about loyalty. Or Jesus about God's love. Little children can understand it. Even concepts like the creation or the flood. Do they understand all the details? No. Can they be taught about it? Yes. Why are we doing it? Because it's time to instill the idea in a child when they're young, so that when they're old, it's still with them. It's not 100% guarantee that they won't do wrong, but you're training their conscience and instilling habits that will last them for a lifetime. I think one of the saddest things I ever ran across was a lady that, when I was a young adult, who was bragging about the fact that when her little kids were young, that she kept them home so they wouldn't disturb the worship. And I thought I was so sad because all of her kids at that time were adults and none of them attended worship. Because when they were young, she trained them. And when they're old, they didn't depart from it.
I said, yeah, you know, having little kids in the audience sometimes is a distraction. Sometimes, you know, it's hard not to laugh when the kids makes some funny remark or they make a noise. That's perfectly fine. Because we're instilling instruction in them now so that when they get older, the pews aren't going to be empty. And they're going to be assets to the congregations they're a part of, as well as assets to their community. It begins at the very time now, even when they're very young. And when we have Christians and new Christians on our hands, keep in mind the same thing applies. You got to start the training immediately to instill habits so that it lasts the rest of their lifetime. Hope you think about those things. If there's anything that we haven't talked about that you want to ask questions about, that's perfectly fine. But right now, we'd like to offer an opportunity that if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, who would like the prayers of the brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song with Celebrity.